Good afternoon, everyone. From biodegradable mulches to a different kind of degradable mulches, and that would be those that are of plant origin. I'm going to share with you some preliminary results from our trial that utilized sun hemp as the surface mulch in vegetable production. And this project was funded by Southern Region SARE with the University of Virgin Islands and the University of Puerto Rico. So I don't need to spend a whole lot of time on the justification because I think we're all totally familiar, or at least familiar enough, with the fact that cover crops can be beneficial if they are managed appropriately. Past work has typically focused on cover crops for pest management, but also some soil health attributes. In particular, the tropics and subtropics have some unique conditions that are really challenging to overcome, and one of them is the very high temperatures that we have are causing us to have very high evapotranspiration rates, and so water management is really important for us. Our soils typically are very low in organic matter and consequently are low in biological activity. So in terms of trying to create these systems that are utopia with, you know, beautifully healthy soils, it's a challenge when it's that hot. So the overall goal of our team is to develop production systems that are going to be resilient to all these weather changes that we've been having, and in particular, develop systems that are going to reduce overall water demands of the crop and also reduce the demand for external inputs, whatever that is, whether it's inputs for pest management or inputs for nutrient management. And then obviously we want to develop a system that's good for the soil. So we decided to do a series of studies funded by Southern Region SARE on these three locations. Each location conducted randomized complete block designs with multiple years, and each location had different objectives. So I'm going to share the Florida story. Dr. Weiss is in the room. He shared the Virgin Islands story earlier. So specifically in Florida, what we wanted to find out was how well does sun hemp do, a tropical legume, when terminated by a roller crimper? How efficient is it at suppressing weeds? How does that impact productivity of pepper? And how does it compare to other mulching systems that our growers are using? So this study was a two-year study, and it was conducted at the Suwannee Valley Agricultural Extension Center, which is a UF IFAS property near Live Oak, Florida. That's in north central Florida. I will point out that this research station is very unique. The entire station is farmscaped. So it's a really fantastic place to do organic research because you're not working in a vacuum. I mean, I'm really almost closer to working on an organic farm than any of the other research stations. The organic plots are number 6, which would be the bottom 25th percent of the image, and they are certified organic. So we looked at 4 treatments in a randomized complete block design, and then we split each of those treatments into 2 levels of weeding intensity to evaluate how these different mulches performed. So there's our plot size, and here's our treatments. So this is an image of the trial almost immediately after installation, after we transplanted the peppers. And so you can see the 4 mulch treatments there, and I've been told there are no, there's my pointer. Okay, so we had sun hemp that was terminated by a roller crimper. We had a treatment that was no mulch, so no surface mulch at all. We had a standard plastic mulch treatment, and then we had another treatment that we call cut and carry. So in order to explain these in full, I need to tell you the story that happened before that. And that is, in the winter, we produced cereal rye. We use a cultivar Florida 401, which is an early maturing rye. We baled it, dried it, baled it, and then we used it in this experiment for the cut and carry treatment. This way I know exactly what's going on my plots, and I know that it hasn't been sprayed in the whole business. So after the rye was terminated, the ground was tilled and we planted sun hemp. The entire experimental area was planted in sun hemp. Okay. So everything was mowed and then incorporated and mulch applied except for the reduced tillage treatment, which is this one here. And that sun hemp in situ was just terminated with a roller crimper. Okay? So over time, after 6 weeks after plant, we split each of these plots lengthwise, and we were interested in just how much hand weeding do we have to do. All of our small farmers in Florida weed by hand. It's just the way things are done, you know. There are some folks that cultivate, it's true, but if you want to have plant residue on the surface, then unless you have some pretty fancy sweeps, it's going to be hard to keep that in place. So there's some shots of the winter rye and the bale. Okay. And this is what happened in the spring. So we did apply 2 tons of poultry litter to the acre prior to sun hemp seeding. And then we used a commercially available unnamed accession of sun hemp, which was inoculated, and then we drilled that to 50 pounds to an acre, and in both years planted that in May. So in July, late July and mid-August of 2013-2014, we installed our treatments, and there's some shots there. That is the roller crimper that I built the first couple months that I started as an assistant professor. It's pretty beat up now, and I'm really happy to share that the next talk that I do like this will have a nice brand new roller crimper picture in it, because we just bought an I&J, so I'm pretty excited about that. But that one's done great for me, and it was on 5 feet for vegetable production, and it does the trick. So there's some shots of the sun hemp after roller crimping here. You can see in this picture, sort of, that the sun hemp is a very fibrous crop, and so when you mow it, it shreds and it can make a mess. So there's definitely some management challenges there. So after the mulch treatments were applied, all the plots received drip and fertilizer. Okay, there's another couple of shots there in preparation. So prior to installation of the mulches, we did take cover crop biomass, and interestingly, in 2013, and this, I am not making these numbers, there were no weeds. No matter where we put those frames, it was clean. We had a lot of biomass, a lot of biomass. It was crazy. It was hard to even get in there. But in 2014, different year, and not as much biomass, and consequently, weeds. Okay. So we used in a cultivar of jalapeno pepper called Tormenta. They did really well for us. They're very slow to get started. So that had some challenges. We had some challenges there. And this area of the greenhouse is certified organic. And so we used a liquid fertilizer there weekly and got them up and running. This is a photo showing the application of fertilizer in the fields. We applied by hand to all the plots except for the no-till plots, and in that case, we didn't want to put material on the surface without having the opportunity to incorporate it. So we rigged this deal here with hoses and knives so we could drop that fertilizer right down in between the residue. Ideally, I'd really like some press wheels to close that, but that's maybe the next step here. So we used the IFAS rate of fertilizer, which is over 200 pounds per acre for pepper. We applied 50% of that up front, and then weekly applied this liquid fertilizer here through fertigation, which worked out to be one of those 5-gallon buckets a week. The math just worked out that way, so that was pretty easy. So when the peppers were about 80 days old, they were transplanted. They held for a long time, which was good. So weed density and weed biomass were collected using half-meter frames randomly placed in the plots. We counted the weeds organized into 3 categories: broadleaf, grasses, and sedges. They were counted and then weighed separately according to their category. We also were interested in the field looking at sunhemp regrowth, and I'm not going to present this data because after I analyzed it, it was really sketchy, but we do have instances of regrowth in the field, and we really wanted to find out, is this, you know, how much of a problem is this going to be? So in the tropics, when it's warm and you terminate things, they grow back sometimes if you don't get a full kill, and we didn't want a cover crop to be a weed. So when this happens, we would just remove that, count it, and weigh it just like all the rest of the weeds. Peppers were harvested weekly for 11 weeks. Fruit was removed from the plant if it was damaged, but mostly we had very little damaged fruit, so it was all marketable except for the really tiny things. So we had number ones, and then we had what we called smalls, which were shorter than an inch and a half long. The data were analyzed with SAS using general linear model and least square mean separation. So how did we do with our weed suppression? So just looking at 3 and 6 weeks, because the first 6 weeks is really the most important when we're talking about weed suppression in vegetables. And we did have some significance there. Not surprisingly, the plastic mulch did a pretty good job of holding back the weeds. And not surprisingly, where there was no mulch, the weeds moved in. So interestingly, the roller crimped treatment, so the treatment with just the terminated sun hemp, did a really good job of holding back the weeds in the early part of the experiment. So when we go back and look at the weeding frequency and time, it doesn't matter at 6 weeks, at 3 weeks, it mattered. But there was only one extra weeding in between there. So I think the important message here is that for early weed suppression, it is possible to be successful just looking at a roller crimped legume. Okay, this is what the plots look like towards the end of the season. This is November 11th. So we had a freeze the night before. It was cold, and we were out there harvesting our final fruit. But you can see the plants look great. So looking at our yield just for 2013, again, we were really, some interesting results. Our cut and carry rye straw produced the greatest amount of yield of any other mulch treatment. And all the other treatments were similar statistically. So what this told us was that cut and carry, and I'm looking at Ted because I know this is your fan, is a successful treatment, and I think it's going to be a really good option for our growers. And it's important to keep in mind that that treatment may have been successful because sun hemp preceded it. There was already some nitrogen that had been incorporated in the ground prior to the application of that straw. That straw was applied at the same loading rate as our biomass, so they were in equal weights. And I don't know, we loved it. We loved working in that system. It was clean, the peppers were beautiful, and we didn't have any weeds most of the season, so that worked out really great. So there's our summary. The frequency of weeding overall, looking at the other weeks, did not influence pepper yield. So when I look at the later weeks in the season, so that we can tell our growers that fewer weeding events are really the most economical choice, that it's not necessary to have a perfectly clean field to get an economic yield. And we'll continue to work with these systems, and I know I'm out of time. So thank you.
Thank you.